Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Listen to Philosophy Talk every Tuesday at noon on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Four Corners Musical Theater Company presents Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street at the Farmington Civic Center, October 20th through the 30th. Halloween thrills and a haunting musical story that follows Sweeney Todd, a barber in historic London, bent on bloody revenge after being framed. Vengeance has never tasted so good. Tickets at fmtn.org/shows or at the Farmington Civic Center box office. Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Twelve minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 24th day of October, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico. Of course, if you're in Durango, Colorado, you're listening to us at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, you can always listen to us from our website, streaming all the time at ksje.com. We also welcome our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody, because coming up, we are talking about education, and specifically San Juan College. We'll be talking about some of the bond questions that will be on the ballot in November for voters in New Mexico. That's coming up this morning here on KSJE. Next hour, Mick Hess will be here roving with the arts. It is our weekday classical music program. This morning, Mick is featuring music from composer Florence Price and also the great Dmitri Shostakovich. You'll hear songs from both of those composers coming up next hour here on KSJE. And don't forget, you can connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to other social media sites like Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcast. They live wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts and Pandora. Check us out and maybe discover a program that you may have missed recently from KSJE. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, well, my goodness, what a rude awakening this morning. It was cold and a little bit of snow flurries in the air this morning. 33 degrees is still the current temperature outside with partly sunny skies. We are expecting some increasing sun during the day today, but those winds are going to be back as well. Some strong winds today in the forecast. The high 49 in Farmington today, 28 and windy overnight, 56 and sunshine tomorrow, partly sunny skies on Wednesday with a high of 58. And then take a look again on Thursday, another chance for maybe a scattered shower or a flurry with a high of only 47 on Thursday, 54 with sunshine on Friday, maybe closer to 60 degrees on Saturday. Well, let me introduce my guest who is here with me this morning talking about San Juan College and some of the bond questions that will be on the ballot this November. Dr. Boomer Appleman is here this morning. Dr. Appleman, always great to have you here. Welcome back to KSJE.
Good to be here, Scott. Happy to be with you.
Thank you very much. Great to have you here. And as I mentioned, there are some bond questions on the ballot in November. And many of those will benefit San Juan College. You are here this morning to talk a little bit about the different questions that folks will be seeing on the ballot and just what those will mean for San Juan College, because we know a lot of things that the community enjoys on this campus have been funded by bond monies in the past.
Yeah, it's pretty substantial over the years what the citizens of the county have done for the college. And so I appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk about some of the local bond as well as some of the state bonds today that will affect education, not only locally, but across the state.
So right.
We're happy to be here.
Right. Very good. Thank you. And so to talk a little bit about that, if I can get my... not my slide, your slide up on the screen this morning. So let's see how we can do that. Well, should be there, but go ahead.
While we're getting that ready, I'll kind of give you a broad overview of the local bond here for San Juan College. Mm-hmm. We're looking at really four main projects for the bond we're looking at. One would be the relocation and renovation of the physical plant building. We're looking at, we've got an existing trail park on campus now, but we're looking at expanding that and putting some more formal obstacles and some amenities in there. Also looking at updating safety and security within the Henderson Fine Arts Center, as well as the Connie Gotch Theater. And then looking at some things that the community really will enjoy is with the retractable bleachers in the HHPC, Health and Human Performance Center.
So, gotcha. So that's at a glance, basically. These
and that's a quick overview. Projects. Yeah, right. Obviously, there's a lot more to it than
right.
that.
Right. But we'll talk about those. And so let's begin with this physical plant building. And that building is... on campus, of course, and the idea is to expand it and kind of move it all into one building. I think they're kind of split among several buildings at the moment.
Well, we're all over the campus right now looking to consolidate some of it, but the main structure for our facilities and physical plant is located in the center of campus. It used to be the outside right. border of it.
Right.
It was built, I think, in 1978. So it's even before we were an independent community college. And so we've kind of grown around that, and it's gotten difficult to work around it at this point. And there's some particular instances as well. Now, for those that are looking at us visually, we've got a nice rendering up on the building with a nice gate entrance as well. We probably go to the next slide if we want. Entirely up to you. We can go back and show the viewers while we're talking about it.
Right.
The main reason we're looking at this is we've tried for several years to work with the state for some opportunities to renovate or rebuild, and it just didn't quite come through because the state uses a rubric and a metric on how they look to invest on it, and every building has an index rating on it. Well, with our index rating on this building, what happened was is they no longer said this is a viable for us to invest in.
Oh.
And so we're kind of at the end of it now because the condition index, the higher education department, they won't approve funds out of general funds to repair and rebuild. And so we kind of have to look at that to be, you know, safety, security with traffic coming in and out of campus. We would relocate it to the edge of campus.
Right.
For those that have been on the campus, we have some buildings at Sunrise. Right across from the new housing, Nozioni Housing Residence Hall.
And that's the site that you're proposing
where the buildings are now for the physical plant, that's our grounds building.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at doing is not building a new structure, but expanding on that existing mix of buildings that are there and connecting and expanding on that way. And it's got great access from major highways for deliveries and everything along with those lines, allows for new shipping, receiving,
right,
as well as using all the things that are, you know, our facilities does to keep this campus running.
Gotcha. And so that's what some of these funds would pay for is this project.
The bulk of this bond,
right,
would be going towards that. Of course, the local bond is a $7 million project. This one comes in at roughly $5.5 million. But we always want to remind people that with this project, it would not increase the property tax rate at all.
Right. Very true. Keeping the tax rate the same.
The same.
For
exactly.
for folks in the county, basically, right, is what we're talking about. So that's part of this. The other part would be expansion of the mountain bike park. And you mentioned that a little bit, that there are already some trails being used right now. But it sounds like this would be a big influx of more stuff in that area and really make it into a pretty cool spot.
Yeah, it's pretty cool already. It's a rough track, just kind of natural trails that people have worn through the hills that are over there. It's in the area, just to the I believe the southwest of campus.
Challenged. But so if you think about the intersection of College Boulevard and 30th Street, it's kind of on the northwest.
Intersection.
How's that?
That's exactly right. So what we've got is 134 acres in that area that folks have been using for a while to ride their bikes around. But it's some property that it's not really designed for that we can develop for classroom or academic areas because of the topography. Very expensive to do that. And so one of the things we looked at is, well, how can we use that property? We've been working with an organization called FAST. It's a local biking organization that helps us look at all this. So we do have the rough trails, but this would be... It really ties into what the Four Corners and San Juan County are looking at is developing, or let me rephrase that, expanding their already fantastic opportunities for outdoor lifestyle.
Right.
Because we've got so many things that we can do here in this area within a short amount of drive. This is one of the things that we think people will come into. So it'd be a new bike park, but also a hard service pump track. Now, again, I'm not the expert in that, but I know that when we looked outside of Bentonville, Arkansas, when they developed a pump track, the tourism from that particular group of folks that are into mountain biking and utilizing those types of structures drew a tremendous number of tourists. And so this is one of the things that we think we can help the community with. By allowing the use of development of this property that the college has.
This would be open to the community.
Open to the community. Right. You know, it'll be used by the community. It allows for the capacity to host local, regional events, to bring events in, working with the Convention and Visitors Bureau and local hotels for rooms and different things along those lines.
Right. It's college property, but it's kind of separate from the college campus per se by the golf course, really. It's kind of in between these two properties.
Yeah, it's over by the grade school and the golf course.
Right.
It's
kind of hilly, which is why the topography is so challenging, I guess, to do much with that particular piece of land.
Well,
you're talking about. But it's cool for mountain bikes.
Oh, it's fantastic. Even just walking it, I got winded.
Okay,
so,
right.
And so if you're really looking for a challenging course. Now, I don't want to oversell it that it's going to be so challenging. They've got it designed so that whatever your skill level is, you'll be able to come in and use it.
And I think I have heard, and I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I think that the city and the county and some of these outdoor recreation folks are very in favor of this project.
That's correct. We've been collaborating on messaging and trying to get some of our efforts for tourism, outdoor recreation, because we know it's a big, big part of what we're trying to develop outside the college and for the community.
Right. And you mentioned that FAST group, which is a local, I think, mountain bike enthusiast kind of group, and they've been providing insights too as to what would work, what wouldn't work, and how to design this thing, right?
That's exactly right. We've been using their expertise because they've got a connection to a national audience of bike riders and different organizations related to that to help us take a look at the topography, see what we would need, what we could do. And so we think it'd be wonderful. Looking at that project, we're looking at roughly, if I remember the numbers here, I've got it. So let me give you the exact number.
What it would cost out of this bond.
Yeah, so for that particular one, what we're looking at is that would run roughly $500,000, $500,000. But again, as those funds come in, it would not increase the local property tax rate.
Right. And provide even more to do than what's there now.
Correct.
So that's this mountain bike park. Some of the other improvements you mentioned would be some safety improvements at the two theaters on campus, the Connie Gotch Theater and the Henderson Fine Arts Theater. So let me show that to everyone real quick, and you can see kind of what we're talking about there.
So, anyone that's been to one of our events, you know, the pandemic kind of slowed that down, but we're back and we're coming back with a force and a passion. But anyone that's ever been on our campus in the Henderson Fine Arts or in the newly renovated Connie Gotch Theater, used to be the Little Theater, but now it's the Connie Gotch Theater, they know how wonderful the facility is for the person viewing the event, right?
Right.
And so what this bond is going to do is it's going to be some behind-the-scenes work. right? Looking for safety and security. It's specifically for those big, heavy light riggings that you'll see to put on a great show. You've got different speakers, sounds, light rigging, as well as the different backdrops and curtains that are there. And so typically, I think you're looking at trying to get a 20-year lifespan, and we're well past that in both venues. And so fire retardant curtains, backdrops, that will add, as well as the strength and safety and security of our light rigging. So we really want to, you know, not only have a great venue that looks great, we want it to be safe for those that are putting it on. A lot of outside industries or outside organizations will come in with their own folks to put it together.
Right.
And we want them to have the best equipment possible to give the highest production value for our local folks to see a show.
Sure, sure. And again, these facilities are made available to the public.
Always to the public,
and
right?
To community groups to come in. We just, I think, had an event over the weekend with the Caliente Chorus at the Connie Gotch Theater. And so, you know, these facilities are able to be used by almost anyone to come in.
We love having events on the campus. We just can't get enough of everyone being here and enjoying themselves.
And when you think about the curtains, just from the main curtain, of course, that opens and closes, but then you've got the backdrop curtains and the curtains and the wings and things along that line, it kind of adds up to a lot of fabric.
It's a lot of fabric, and you've got to have that FR fire retardant ability to it, because, you know, our safety concerns have gotten better over the years, and they've improved and evolved. And so what was the standard when we put them in isn't quite the standard today, and so we need to bring it back up to where everyone feels comfortable.
Right, especially if these things have been hanging there for 20 years.
That's exactly right, or more.
Or more, so there you are. So that's also part of the bond issue on the ballot in November for New Mexico voters and San Juan County voters. And then there's some also something on there for the HHPC, which we want to ask you about too.
Yeah, so I'm everyone, you know, we've talked about some good things here, but this is one of the areas that I love talking about. So this is something that when we built the HHPC, we're talking about retractable bleachers. So when we built the project in, I believe, 98, is somewhere in the late 90s when we were putting this building together, it was to include bleachers, but we ran out of money.
Oh, well, that happens.
Yeah, that happens
with projects
sometimes.
Of this scope, I think, because
they can run a little long sometimes.
Right.
And so we were originally supposed to have that. And so for the last 30 years almost, when folks have an event and they're here to watch their friends and their family, they've had to sit in a folding chair or stand or sit on the floor. And anyone that's ever been to a family reunion on a folding chair knows they're not the most comfortable in the world.
Right.
And so we'll spend some time, and they also, you know, they just kind of get discombobulated. For those watching at home, we've got some photos of folks just kind of scattered all over the place sitting in these chairs. But this is a great, most gyms have bleachers.
Of course.
Right.
Right.
Most gyms have bleachers. And this is one of our most heavily utilized buildings on campus. I can't venture how many thousands of people. I know we have a count, but I don't have it off the top of my head. But it's thousands a week.
Right.
That come in and use the facility.
We just had hundreds of eighth graders in that space
last week, Thursday, Friday.
We
talked over 1,000.
Yeah.
Just in that particular event.
So, yeah.
But this would create a more comfortable environment for those that come to watch the game. So, and again, with housing,
right?
We're going to have an increase in intramural activities. We've got a lot of external events, you know, basketball tournaments. We had 3,500 people here a couple weeks back for a basketball tournament. We've got a number of, for local community folks that enjoy our pickleball and our tournaments along those lines.
Right.
That this is just a great way to have some comfort and a better viewing of what's going on, because you can sit up a little bit.
Sure. Well, there you go. And I don't think these things are cheap, these retractable bleachers.
These are going to run for what we've got. These will run along the edge. It'll run roughly about $400,000
okay.
$400,000 for a much needed. Anyone that's been to the HHPC and watched an event knows how much this is needed,
right?
And would be utilized as well. And so again, when we throw about some numbers out there, I always like to remind people. I kind of hit this nail on the head again, but there is no additional property tax rate increase for these as well. So,
right.
But the utilization rate would be extremely high.
A lot of folks would be able to, and again, a lot of community groups use this. We just had the veteran stand down not too long ago.
Correct.
I think that used that same space. And so again, it may not be a bleacher event, but still you have it available if you wanted to
pull
it out and use it, right?
You'd be surprised how many different events we can hold in there where it's easier for the staff to set up as well, because we don't have to set up all the chairs. We can just pull out the bleachers and go along those lines. But you know, for me, even when I didn't have 50-year-old knees, when I was young and playing in these intramural rec leagues, it's nice to not have to sit on the floor.
Right.
You can just sit there and utilize it as well. So I think that they'll be used quite a bit.
Right. Well, and again, we've never had it. They've never had it in that facility. So it's something that will be back to the original plans.
Yeah, and one of the things that will be cool is anyone that's ever been to one of our tournaments, we have three gyms running at any given time. But when you get down to those semifinals and championship games, people like to attend the kind of a center court feature.
Right.
And so that would happen as well, is that the bleachers are extendable. They pull out roughly 45, 50 feet from the wall, and you can kind of create that enclosure to where you have a main court, center court.
Nice.
And so it kind of gives it just a good production value for those attending the event.
Right. There you go. And so that is all the major projects as part of this issue, correct?
That's correct. We've got four major projects that we're looking at to kind of go over it again. We've got the physical plant relocation and building. We've got the pump track. We've got the rigging and curtains for both Henderson and Connie Gotch, as well as looking at some bleachers for the HHPC.
Got you. And another slide on the screen right now talking a little bit about the timing of this. And again, the college had planned to ask for this back in 2019, but with the economy the way that it was, the college decided to wait till now to ask voters about this.
Yeah, so over the years, the county has been very kind to San Juan College, and we appreciate their support. And so as we were going through, we did plan for this to come out in 2019. But at that time, obviously, the economy was transitioning, and then we went into the pandemic. And so we wanted to make sure things were stabilizing a little bit. And so now we think the timing is right. It's a good time to reinvest back into the community. The college utilizes funds because our capital needs, the physical buildings and structures, are more, they exceed, than what our annual budget can provide at this time. And so that's why we're asking the community to go out there. This funding would again not increase the rates. And one of the things we like to talk about as well is that whenever a bond is created for capital projects specifically, not just a revenue bond or anything along those lines, but for capital projects, for every there's one job created for every $100,000 in funding in architecture and structure and the related fields. So with projects that are totaling around $7 million, we would expect that this would help the local economy quite a bit in that aspect. We'll just see where it goes.
Certainly. Well, and of course that would, fund some construction and some other jobs, obviously, as you talked about these projects, right, that do take some of that and some purchasing and things along that line.
That's right. Not just the direct cost, but all those ancillary features that go around with any type of project.
Right. And if I understand how bonding works, because there's no increase in taxes, that means that the college is kind of retiring or paying off some bonds. And so
correct.
These things, that's how it kind of works. So you're able to retire some bonds to go out and ask for new money for some of these newer projects.
You're absolutely right. So when we have these bonds, they have a life cycle. We have ended the life cycle of previous bonds. Actually, we're a couple years away from that, so we've been able to help that. And so we're looking at right now adding a little bit more to help with the mission of the college and to help the community. But again, being cognizant that we don't want to go into their pocket. That's why we look at, this won't affect the rates.
Right. Right. Very good. And I think, too, that the college has a pretty good credit rating and pretty good reputation in the community of spending public money in a responsible way. If you look at some of the past projects and things along that line, I think voters, through their vote in the past, have shown good confidence in San Juan College.
And we appreciate that confidence, and we don't take it lightly. And for that reason, Dr. Pendergrass and our business office, the Executive VP, Edward Desplas, and as well as everyone that works at the college, is very fiscally conservative and conscious in how we spend the money. And so we've sharpened the pencils, and we've gotten these projects as tight as we can to provide what the college would need, as well as what we can do for the community as well.
Right.
And so we're not one to put fluff in. It's very specific for what we're looking for along those lines. You mentioned the credit rating. We have a fantastic credit rating because of our fiscal responsibility and how we use those funds as well.
Right. And I think, too, that obviously the way the bond is written, the college can only use this money for these particular projects.
That's correct.
I mean, it's not like you can use it for something else.
We cannot take the money.
Yeah.
And use it for anything else. If we have, you know, if this bond moves forward, these are the projects, and only these projects would be used with those funds.
Right. Now, there's a little extra. We're showing a kind of a sheet here of all the expenses. You mentioned the $7 million total cost. There's another $100,000 that's kind of undesignated, but that is because of, I think, some of the things we've all lived through, is supply chain and price increases, mm-hmm. and things along that line. You kind of have a little bit of that built into this so that you don't run out of money, I guess, when you're building some of these things.
Yeah, I used the example before that the bleachers were supposed to be part of the HHPC project. And what happened was we ran out. Well, we've learned our lesson since the 1990s, and so we put a little in there to cover those costs that are associated with these type of projects. So if people think you just have the bonds, you have to sell the bonds. The funds have to be made available. So it's not as if, you know, we vote and the next day the money comes in. And so there's a lag on there where we still will have some additional expenses of architectural. There's some inflation, other economic factors. You mentioned several right now with the supply chain and the inflation costs on there. So we want to make sure that we can cover all of these projects if it takes longer than anticipated. And so for that reason, it's a very nominal of the $7 million. There's only $100,000 that is earmarked for the undesignated mark. But it's not really true to say that it's not undesignated. So that $100,000 has to be used on costs associated with these four projects. It can, again, not be pulled out for any other project.
Got it. And so that's why that's on there as well. But that's what folks are going to be voting for. And so that's
what we're voting
what we're talking about. Now, there's some other things on the ballot, too, that we want to talk about briefly, right?
There's a couple things.
Folks may be asked about.
We do want to encourage people to vote on these bonds. The local one, we've spent some time here talking about. But there's a statewide initiative as well, two of them. They used to be called A, B, and C. B would be for books, and C would be for college.
Right.
But they changed that this year. And so two and three are related to education and colleges.
Okay.
So what used to be Bond B is now Bond 2.
All right.
And this
B is the second letter in the alphabet, so I guess I can remember it that way.
That's right, right. Yeah. And so we're looking at that. So this is the bond for libraries. And so libraries are a great community resource. They're great for colleges as well, right?
Sure.
That's our main focus in learning. But for rural populations, these are crucial. Internet access, research, financing, whatever you need to look up for your life, people come in and use our services. And so this funding for Bond 2, San Juan College does have a designation within that general statewide bond of roughly $177,000, maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at that, we can use it for all of our databases, which is our researching, books, DVDs, any type of library materials for research for the community as well. And so we're happy to be kind of the in addition to the Farmington and other local libraries within the county, the college is happy to be available for the community to use resources. So
right.
We would encourage voting on this bond as well.
And this bond would help not only the San Juan College Library, but other college libraries throughout the state. And city libraries as well, I believe, right?
I believe so. I'm not for certain on the municipal libraries. I'm an education guy,
right.
So I kind of look at that.
But certainly the college library.
College library would certainly make more resources available for our students and the community.
Okay, very good. So that's bond two, formerly known as bond issue B, I think, but bond issue two on the ballot. And then there's another one, number three.
Number three.
That's also on the ballot as well that we want to show folks a little bit about what we're talking about. So let me switch over to that one, which is on the screen right now.
So again, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we have it on the screen. It finally showed up.
Yeah.
So there it is.
So those that are viewing at home, you've got some bullet points there. I'll kind of go over them in detail so the folks listening can get some of this information as well. This is a statewide bond as well. It's again formerly known as bond C, but it is bond three on this election ballot. It's one of those things that this is what we're using it for is for infrastructure capital needs related to our information technology. And this is really the work. This is a $3 million. Piece of the pie for San Juan College.
Okay.
So what this would do is this would allow us to really evolve and secure our backbone. And so we're not talking about laptops and computers and those things that you see. This is really the network, replacing the cabling, the fiber, all of the aging network equipment, and it will increase our data quality. So we'll have, the ability to have more bandwidth and better reliability as well. So speed and security are the name of the game for education,
right.
Especially as we learned in the pandemic, having to deliver materials through multiple formats with the internet being one of the main that we're looking at. It also, people don't think about this sometimes. They think about computers and they think about, the networks and the boards and stuff like that. But there's anyone that's ever heard the fan on the back of their computer knows that those things get hot. And so we've got some fairly large networking systems that the heating and cooling, the HVAC, needs to be improved to make sure that we can maintain the integrity of those systems. And so the power, the like I said, the heating and the cooling allows us to have a greater reliability of service because we're keeping in that optimal temperature as the system's using power.
Got it.
But again, also creating, I'm swirling my finger in a big circle. For those who can't see. So that's okay. We don't have to show it. But we have a loop,
yes.
A fiber loop around campus that runs underneath all of the parking and the structures as well. And so this would create a fiber loop that ensures the network backbone dependency.
Gotcha.
Let me rephrase that. Dependability. A little tongue-tied with this cold weather this morning.
Right. That's okay. But that's helpful. And I know, how much we rely on internet connectivity in our classrooms for the teachers and just employees and everything else. And I think the college has some redundant connections to power and internet and things like that. But if something goes down, you need to have that kind of backup capability as well.
It's always about redundancy. People don't like to have their system down, especially, for us being a high quality educational institution, providing, a number of services out there that folks rely on.
Right.
Pretty rural is our service area, and they need to make sure that they can get to that information. So it's huge for us.
Right. And when you think about IT, and I think about just the number of computers on this campus, when we have one in every classroom and then in every office, I would think, and then you've got students that are here with their devices and employees and visitors with their devices, cell phones or tablets or what have you. I mean, that network handles a lot of traffic and a lot of different requests day in, day out. And so this is kind of stuff to help maintain all that and to keep it secure, and so to make sure folks know that when they log on, they can get where they want to go and get the information that they need and get it in a fairly quick manner.
That's exactly right. So, everyone that has a phone on them right now when they're on campus is probably using our system.
Guilty.
We all do, right? I mean, right. Go to the airport. Is it secure? Can I log on? So it's not just about the speed and the availability, because we're kind of used to that convenience today. But what this project also does is it helps us with our cybersecurity. Having a strong physical infrastructure to put up all those things that we need to make sure we're safe and reliable is a key component, if not the key component. People want to be able to trust the system. And so this upgrade helps us. Now, again, I don't want to scare anybody to think that we're not. We have maintained over the years a very strong, safe network. We want to continue to do that as the rest of the world evolves. And so it's time to upgrade.
Gotcha. That's what GeoBond 3 would do for San Juan College and other institutions across the state. This is another statewide question that folks will be voting.
Another statewide question would help all of our colleges and universities across the state of New Mexico.
All right. Very, very good. And we're just about out of time this morning, Dr. Appleman, but we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other things that the college does, I think, in our remaining minutes together this morning. So here are some other things what the college does, of course, throughout the community. The print's kind of small on the screen, but there's a long, long list of things that is on that screen.
We're happy to be aligned and partnered with the community. And so it's just a short list for those that are viewing at home that covers the gamut of different community events, from Harvest Food Hub, looking at the museum, the Sherman Dugan Museum that's on campus, as well as all of the other events that people hold on campus. There's a zombie run. We've got Energy Week, different conferences. So we are partnered and embedded with the college. If we can go to the next one. I'll be quick this. Yep. Just want to remind everybody, Scott, that the actual date for the election is November 8th.
Right.
However, early voting, you can vote now if you want. That opened up on the 11th. You just can go to the clerk's office anytime. And then again, looking at October 22nd through November 5th, other hours to go by the clinic. But again, there's alternate sites as well. You can go to the Farmington Museum, Gateway Park, the Public Library, Bloomfield Cultural Center, the CCSD Business Office, as well as the Newcomb Fire Station for alternative nice. Voting. But I would encourage everyone out there to go vote on these bonds. They would provide great funding for the college, obviously, but also for our community.
That's true. Very true. And so early voting is available now, everybody, or can you wait until Election Day on November the 8th?
That's right.
And there'll be a lot more locations to go vote on that day as well. So very good. Dr. Appleman, I always appreciate you being here, and thank you for talking about these important issues for San Juan College, of course. It's a great community partner, as we've talked about, and the radio station, of course. We're proud to be a part of the college family here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on here.
You bet. Good to see you. That's Dr. Boomer Appleman. He is the Vice President of Student Services here at San Juan College. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wild krats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can! Wild Krats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.